Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And again, Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day and a good start to a new month. Yes, it's May. Doesn't it feel different than yesterday, which was April? Yeah, don't answer that. I know your answer. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding fort in East Nashville, where he's been setting up shop this entire time. I think we're going on 7 weeks, something like that. Chase McCabe in Bellevue on the west side of town, and Marquise Munson back at 1824. Murfreesboro Pike, which is the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Happy May, guys. Doesn't it feel like a new month?
We made it to May.
It feels like
a
new
month. I'm so glad.
Because it is.
And doesn't it feel different?
And I am excited for May. Oh. Already got the guitar ready to go.
Oh, all righty then.
This is only building to a tremendous edition of Friday Trivia, where if you don't like the question, if you feel like it's too tough, you have a lifeline, and that is to get a Name That Tune from Chase playing the guitar. I think it's a fantastic competition. I feel like once this is all over, this could be one of the silver linings of the pandemic, is we could get our own game show, sports trivia with Name That Tune all wrapped up into one.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That is cutting edge.
That is cutting edge. I can't really argue with that. Not because I'm the one doing it, but it is. I don't know how many radio hosts I hear playing their guitar on the air.
Now, here's an 80s reference for you, Darren. Do you
there
remember?
There might be a show that copies it, but we'll see.
Well, do you remember the show, Darren, on MTV? What was it called? Remote Control. Do you remember that?
Yes. With, yes. Mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler was on it.
Yes.
And there were some other pretty good actors. That was a great show. It was a little bit of sports, but it was mostly music trivia. But one of the things you could do, you could sing along with Colin Quinn.
Yes.
Remember, he would have this ridiculous karaoke voice, you know, real raspy. He was nowhere close to being in tune, but it was so bad it was good, and you had to name that tune. And then there was a bunch of other little trivia questions music-wise, but it was fantastic.
That was what, late 80s?
I think it was late 80s, early... Yeah, late 80s, for sure.
Remote Control, Colin Quinn.
It was great.
It didn't last very long, I don't think.
So Chase is our Colin Quinn. He's instead of singing, though, he's playing the guitar. So this is
what I'm
this
doing.
Is what we're doing.
Trying to be unique.
I like it.
That's what
I like
we do.
It. Was that the one that was supposed to? It was supposed to look like it was down in somebody's basement.
Right. Yes. It was. Right? That was exactly what it was.
I have no idea.
You don't remember? Oh,
I'm on YouTube. We got to get a YouTube clip.
I feel like I know the name Colin Quinn, but.
Oh, you would know Colin Quinn, I think, if you saw him. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. What else did Colin who was the,
oh yeah okay,
who was the other guy, Willie? There was another guy too.
Well, Adam Sandler was on there. The host of the
Adam
show
Sandler?
His name was Ken Ober.
That's who I was thinking of. Ken Ober.
And Dennis Leary was on there too.
Jeez, that's hilarious.
Oh yeah, he was in Grown Ups.
Who was
Colin Quinn, and he was in Training.
Oh, Colin Quinn, yeah, he was Saturday Night Live for a while.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know who he is now.
Well, you know Adam Sandler, right?
I've heard of him.
No, I mean how he rolls with his movies, right? It's like you see the same people. he has like his go-to people, right, for movies.
But I think that that's a part of the success, though, because you see the chemistry. It's like this show, you know, we have the chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. Very true. All right, we are excited. We are going to have trivia in the final hour of the program. You just made the list that I've been waiting for all week at noon, so I will absolutely be ready for that. So keep that in mind. David Poyle, Predators general manager, at 11 o'clock. We'll talk with John Roberts, who covers NASCAR, also in the second hour of the program. NASCAR has made big news that we're about to talk about in just a second. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk to Brett McMurphy from the stadium, because as I continue to look every day, and yesterday, it may have been toward the end of the show, and we didn't get to it, or it may have been right afterwards, but I saw where President Sidney McPhee, MTSU's president, Dr. McPhee, said that MTSU is planning on moving forward with, you know, in-person camp or in-person classes for the fall. And I've seen Alabama come out with that. And I think almost every school in Texas has come out and said, yep, we'll be in class in the fall. And it looks like that is where the movement is for universities as we sit here on the first day of May. And that news started trickling out at the end of April. We'll see if that still happens, but it is going to be very interesting to see why. Why is that happening? We'll talk to Brett McMurphy about that. So NASCAR is coming back. And look, you know, when we started having these conversations, I said NASCAR needs to be the aggressor in this. They need to be the one that needs to be back sooner rather than later. They are the sport that can get out there because of their setup and get be a little bit more aggressive about it, because – just how the sport is run. You know, they're just talking about drivers in a car by themselves, and, you know, crew chiefs, they're up on a box. You know, usually they're not by themselves, but they can be by themselves. The only thing you really have is a crew, a pit crew.
Yep.
And for a sport that's been going the wrong direction for a decade, boy, as we sit here and see what the NFL virtual draft did, record numbers, no surprise there. What we're seeing with The Last Dance, that's not even live sports. This is 80s and 90s, The Last Dance. You know, their numbers through the roof. People are starving for something, and who knows? My guess is NASCAR will absolutely get a whole lot of new eyeballs on their product, and it'll be up to them to see if they can keep them.
Yeah, and I think they will. I want to throw this out, though, because this is just happening. The Titans are declining the fifth-year option on wide receiver Corey Davis. So Tom Pelissero putting that out there, and others now reporting it as well. So breaking news there, Corey Davis not getting the fifth-year option. But to answer
– is that really a wow, though?
No.
We got to get back to that. It's not a wow, but I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, we'll definitely get back to that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
If you think it's a mistake. But to answer your question on NASCAR, this is a huge opportunity, because you use the phrase that for the last decade they haven't had any momentum, and I could not agree with you more. Now, do I think in the last couple of years have they taken steps to try and repair that? They have. Brian France did himself no favors with his legal troubles that he has had, and that turned out to actually be a good thing for the sport, because now that he's not running it, things are better. And they have the right people in place and that are trying to get some of that momentum back. They're never going to have what they had in the 90s, but they understand their place in the world now, and they're doing the best that they can. You know, I've been watching old races and the Car of Tomorrow. While I understand the reasoning behind it from a safety standpoint, it set the sport back. It hurt. The racing was terrible. So they're getting back to that, and now they can be the only show in town. They're going to do one-day shows. They're not going to have practice. They're not going to have qualifying. They're going to unload, and they're going to go race. And we're going to see what that does. And Fox has the TV deal. They're going to televise them with the schedule starting May 17th at the Darlington Raceway. That will be a 2:30 Central start on Fox, on Big Fox. And then Tuesday night at Darlington, they'll run the Xfinity race. Wednesday night at Darlington, they'll run another cup race on FS1, and then they'll go run the Coke 600 on May 24th at Charlotte. They're going to do two cup races at Darlington and Charlotte from May, basically in 10 days. So four races in 10 days, which I think is how things are going to be going in the future. They're going to have those midweek races. But they did Steve O'Donnell, who's the executive vice president with NASCAR, handles all the competition. He did say that they will run the Southern 500 at Darlington on a Labor Day weekend. So three cup races essentially at Darlington and Charlotte.
Wow.
So But they're doing this to get it going. They're doing this to actually have points-paying races. They will have live pit stops. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity. You know I'm excited. I mean, I'm very excited about this because this is my sport and something that I love. So this is a huge move for them. And it's not just the Cup Series. It's Xfinity and it's trucks. They're all coming back. And they're all on Fox family of networks.
I think it's a fantastic move. I think that's where everything is going. I said all along that I felt like golf and NASCAR were the two sports that absolutely should be the aggressors in getting their sports back out there. I think MLS is another one. There's just a little bit trickier dynamic because they don't have the big TV contracts. They really do depend on their gate much more than, let's say, a golf or NASCAR that's got the TV, the big TV contracts, right? And so certain sports are set up to collect big TV contracts. Other sports are more set up for their fans and for people to be in the stands. And so golf seems like they're moving in the direction of the middle of June. Quite honestly, I'm surprised it's not a little bit earlier. I just feel like, once again, golf sets you up for you to be able to pull this off in an easier fashion than contact sports, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about two sports with no contact. So it should be easier to do that. And it looks like NASCAR is going to be the first one to jump out there and resume action. And, boy, they're going to hit the track running, pun intended, right?
I mean,
they're going to get after it. I mean, it's not going to be, hey, let's try this one out, and then we'll sit back and reflect and see if this is a good idea. It's like, yeah, they're just going to keep coming in waves, race after race after race. So we'll see how that plays out. How far right now do they say that we are definitely doing this? What's the cutoff right now?
Well,
say the end of the month?
Yeah, we only have a schedule through May 27th.
Okay.
So Sunday, May 17th, and then Wednesday, May 27th at Charlotte is the last race that they have announced the schedule for. They said they're going to come out with that soon. I have a feeling before they start racing on May 17th, we'll know what the full schedule looks like because they still got to make up races. They're just doing this. They're starting in Darlington and Charlotte because they've worked with state and local officials, you know, around those tracks, and they've gotten the go-ahead. It's a process that they have to work through to be able to go make up some of these races. Now, they missed Texas and they missed Homestead, which is in Florida. Both of those local governments seem to be working with NASCAR as well. So my guess is the next race after Charlotte would be making up Homestead or making up Texas. And they may do the same thing where they just run two races at both of those tracks. I don't know. But, I mean, they're essentially knocking four races off the schedule by doing this. So we'll see. But I have a feeling that's the route they're going to go. But I love the concept of running some midweek races, whether it's the Cup or Xfinity or trucks, because with nothing on, you're going to get people watching on a Wednesday night or a Monday night or whatever the case may be.
They will. We'll come back. Brett McMurphy, we'll talk about where is this going with universities and fall campuses and, of course, college football. We'll talk to him on the other side. Right now, I want to tell everybody that starting today, we're offering free advertising on Fridays. You're going to hear this a lot, and this is a really cool deal that we're doing here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and it's a call to all local businesses that are safely open and working. And right now, you know, we want people to sign up for this. Hey, it's an opportunity for you to get your name out there. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses during this pandemic. And we're doing that right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media. If you would like to partake in this, you want to be a part of this, you can email us at together@cromwellmedia.com, together@cromwellmedia.com. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer to you. So keep in mind, by the way, guys, restaurants are open in Smyrna. You can go dine in Smyrna, which I didn't realize till a couple of the neighbors told me. One of them, their kids had a birthday, and they were in Longhorns, and I saw a picture, and I was like, did you rent out the place? Did you get a private party? They said, no, we're wide open. They're wide open. They're open. It was like a private party, but they're open. So businesses are indeed safely opening back up. So this is your opportunity to get your name out there. We'll come back with Brett McMurphy next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning, we say hello and good morning to Brett McMurphy, who is a college football insider and now at Stadium covering college football. Brett, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic here in Nashville. Just keep plugging away, trying to be safe, and it looks like we're starting to move in a positive direction in the sports landscape. We were just talking in the last segment how NASCAR is kind of the first to jump back out there and say, hey, okay, we're getting ready to start races up as we start May and golf and others. And the movement that I'm going to start with you is it seems like in the last 24 or 48 hours, I keep looking, Brett, and I keep seeing more and more college campuses or more universities saying, yeah, we're moving in the direction of having classes on campus in the fall. I guess the question is, how do you get everybody on that same page? Do you think everybody is going that direction?
Well, I know what you're looking at because I'm tweeting some of the same stuff, but first off, let's look at what they're saying. They're saying we plan to be on campus in the fall. We intend to be on campus in the fall. Ultimately, though, they don't know yet. I think a big reason they're doing that is they're worried about their enrollment numbers in the fall. A lot of students aren't enrolling now because of the uncertainty. So they're trying to make these students more comfortable, if you will, to go ahead and enroll. But I don't think we're going to definitively know till mid-June how many of these schools are going to be on campus or not.
There's been, and I know I kind of feel like there's two layers to this, and I think you suspect that I'm thinking of just one and one only. But the other one, you know, the one that is you've seen around, it's happened here with Vanderbilt and other universities where people are saying, I'm not satisfied with virtual classes. I don't feel like I'm getting, you know, the education that I signed up for, the big-time money that I'm paying, and they're not happy with that. You're even seeing lawsuits or at least that word being tossed around. How much do you think that is factoring into this as well?
You're absolutely right. I think that's a big part of it, is these students, these parents don't want to pay full tuition for online classes. Ultimately, that's a big part of it. You know, look, everybody wants to be back in the fall. Everybody wants to have college athletics. But, I mean, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I just can't see everybody getting back in the fall. But I don't think we'll know for another month or two.
They have the trickier dynamic than the professional sports, Brett, as you know. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear. It seems like, you know, all the pro sports that are coming back, right, for at least for the time being, it is not with any intentions to have fans in the stands, to have, you know, fans allowed in buildings or venues. But college is a little bit different dynamic. So how do you think they're trying to work around that? Because you're constantly sending mixed messages. That's the trickier dynamic, right? We had Rick Stockstill on the other day, and he's like, how do you tell kids it's not safe to go to class, kids it's not safe to come to the games, but, hey, by the way, there is a game on Saturday, and he needs to tell his kids, hey, I need you to be at practice. And, yeah, we need to go hit somebody else and tackle each other on Saturday, right? I mean, there's a lot of mixed messages in there.
Well, I think the argument for colleges, can you play without fans in the stands? Obviously, that would be a last resort option. However, I agree with what you're saying. If you can't have fans in the stands, then you can't have students on campus. So, that's kind of where we're at as far as the colleges. The NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, et cetera, they don't have to have 30,000 students on campus to have their season. That's why I think they're more likely to get a season going. I think college football will get one. I just think it's going to be delayed at some point.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy, outstanding college reporter for WatchStadium.com And Brett, you recently wrote the article about geography, and you talked to a lot of ADs on how this is going to work. If certain states are at different stages, and it certainly appears that that's where it's going to be going for a long time, different states, different counties, different areas of, within a state opening up at different times, how are these conferences going to get on the same page when the time comes?
That's a big question right now. You know, I talked to everybody from all 10 conferences, multiple athletic directors, and the consensus is they don't know what they're going to do. But that's a very real possibility. You could have, you know, in the SEC, you could have 10 schools that are back. You could have four that are not back. Does that mean you're going to play without those four? Does that mean you're going to wait for those four? That's an unknown right now. But I think it's unrealistic to think that we're going to have all 65 Power 5 schools back. Certainly, I don't think we'll have all 130 FBS schools back. And so what will the conferences do at that point? What if the majority, one conference official, asked me and said, what if the majority is 8-6 that's playing? Does that change things if it's 10-4 or 11-3? Those are the conversations these ADs and commissioners are having right now in case that scenario happens.
It's a great point. And as you point out in your article, the SEC and the Big Ten, for example, have schools that represent 11 different states. That's a lot of different formulas that could be at play here. So, Brett, if they're faced with this in the fall, and it seems like there's a really good chance that this could be the case, as you said, even if half the schools are ready to go and even play in front of fans, but the other half are not, then what about playing the season in the spring of 2021, where you have a better chance maybe of everybody being able to have fans? How possible is that in your mind?
I think that's, of all the options, I think that's the one they least likely want to do. But again, it's not necessarily going to be which option they want to do. It's kind of going to be determined by which option that the virus allows. And, you know, if they can't get schools back in the fall, if you're going to have to be delayed and spring's the only option, then you got to do that, because make no mistake, it's better than the alternative, and the alternative is no football at all. So would they want to play in the spring, go up against the NFL draft and a myriad of other issues that are going to come up? Absolutely not. But if it's don't play football and lose all that revenue or play in the spring, they're going to play in the spring.
How about this? I thought this was an interesting quote. You had some athletic directors who wanted to be more frank with you and not give their name at the time, but one Power 5 AD saying, those that don't play probably won't get their full share of media rights revenue. So that would be a very difficult decision to make if you felt it was the right thing to do to not play, but yet you would be sacrificing a lot of money for your athletic program. I wouldn't envy the person in that position.
Yeah, and certainly that's one of the considerations that these athletic directors and conferences are going to have to make. You know, you're right. One AD said no, the schools that don't play would not get their share of media rights revenue. I talked to another AD from another Power 5 conference who said, yeah, absolutely they would get it. And the example they gave is you have schools that don't make the NCAA basketball tournament. You have schools that don't go to bowl games, yet they still share in the conference's revenue in that way. So certainly it's not like these schools are just saying, hey, you know what, we don't feel like we have a good enough team this year, we're not going to play. It's obviously something much more serious. So I'm sure it'll get worked out, but like everything else, you know, as you guys know, everything else involving life and especially college athletics, it comes down to the money. And they'll figure it out somehow, some way. But some conferences may have different stances. Some conferences may give 100% of the revenue to schools, programs that can't play. Other may cut the revenue down to 75%. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like how we had the different revenue models when we had a lot of conference expansion. Teams coming to new conferences. The Big Ten, those schools took several years before they got a full share. Other conferences gave their new members a full share right away.
You've got some amazing quotes in here. Well, you got one athletic director saying the schools that can play will play. So that's an interesting one to me, with college football schedules sometimes being set, you know, years in advance. how would you do the schedule if you've got some teams on your schedule that aren't playing?
Yeah, well, I've joked with, I'm sure they didn't like this joke, but I've joked with several ADs and said, hey, you guys love announcing these series, you know, 15, 20 years ahead of time. Guess what? You got 15 or 20 minutes to redo this year's schedule.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you're right. So, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, you asked me a great question. I answer it. And then I have 10 more questions for myself. So imagine what these guys are going through trying to figure this out. You know, one model would be cut out the non-conference games, which, you know, that would obviously be a lesser option than playing 12 games. So let's say we got to cut out the non-conference games. So you don't start till October 1st. Well, even that's tricky. In the month of September, you've got 32 conference games in the Power Five leagues alone. So now you've got to move those games into October and November and or December. And certainly those conference teams that match up in September, I'm sure do not have the same open dates in October and November. So you're right. There's no easy fix. One AD told me, you know, look, whatever option we end up with, it's not going to be perfect. And I think that sums it up best. And they're just trying to figure out everything. And again, it all goes back to this. They're waiting for whenever we get the all clear, whenever things can return to normal, so they know which plan to put in place.
Brett McMurphy from Stadium is with us. So how much do you think that this will affect the decision of some of these players that know they're going to be a high NFL draft pick? You know, could you see more players, especially if the season is delayed and depending on how far it's delayed, if they're like, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out and go with the draft stock that I have and get ready for the NFL?
Well, I think if it's delayed to October, I don't think it will impact the student athletes at all. But if it's moved back to the spring, absolutely. You're going to have several players that don't play. I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence and you're projected number one pick in the draft and you sit there and look at the schedule and you see week 9, you're supposed to be playing at NC State, and that's also the same week as the NFL draft, are you really going to play this year? Probably not. So, but again, it's better than the alternative of not having any football. But certainly I'm sure a lot of high projected NFL draft picks would just sit out the season if it doesn't start until January or February.
Do you think that if that happens, let's say they play a spring schedule and you have play, obviously this is a unique circumstance, and so you have players that sit out, do you think that's something that college football can come back from, or does it open Pandora's box and you have more and more players that may skip out on their last year of eligibility if they know they're going to be a high pick no matter what?
No, I think it's just based strictly on the fact that the season would start so late. I mean, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, what if he has that same injury in a season that started in February? Well, he wouldn't have been drafted number 5 overall. So I just think this is a one-year deal. I don't think it's going to impact college football long-term at all.
Do you think that this could have some impact on coaching decisions? If there's a coach that is currently sitting on the hot seat, this could more or less buy him some time because the university doesn't want to make as big of a change with all this uncertainty?
Well, I think with all the financial stuff going on, certainly universities are not going to want to, you know, have to pay these exorbitant buyouts, which obviously they've been doing a lot in the past. So then if you couple that with the season that starts in February, that, you know, we could have the national semifinals and the title game around Memorial Day. And then the next season only starts two or three months later, you know, maybe ADs decide not to make any changes because of that short turnaround. I mean, imagine that, a world in college football for 1 year where nobody's on the hot seat.
They'll figure out a way to still get them on the hot seat.
That's
how it works. Brett, thanks so much for the visit. We'll see you on Zoom for SEC Media Days.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank
you.
It's going to
be a big old Zoom.
It is going to be a big old Zoom. Brett McMurphy with the Stadium, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll talk about what you just heard, where this is going on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Victor. David Poyle coming up at 11 o'clock here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Appreciate Brett McMurphy from the Stadium for joining us. Greg Sankey, SEC Commissioner, was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday. speaking on what we're about to talk about. And, of course, he kind of weighed in on the subject.
Are there alternative plans for college football in the fall?
There's the conversation. You know, are there? Sure. Is that the focus? No. The focus is on preparing to play as scheduled Labor Day weekend. I think that's an important message publicly. I think it's important for our student athletes to hear from me that we're focused on that preparation. Now, whether or not we can make that happen, that's going to be up to the circumstances around the virus.
No football, you know, football with no fans.
Not something I have to decide right now, and not high on my priority list for thinking about. Now, whether the fan patterns look different, that's another question. That again, we've learned a lot in the last 30 to 45 days. We're going to learn a lot more in the next 45 days, and we've got, you know, a little over 100 days to the start of what would be football season as scheduled, and that'll guide how we make those decisions.
I wonder if you have students on campus, then is there a correlation between that, students on campus, fans in the stands, or is that a big leap there?
I don't think it's a big leap, Dan. I think the first threshold is our campus is moving back towards operation, and you see really on a daily basis, universities across the country talking about moving forward with their fall plan. So that's the first step. The patterns and how people enter and leave and where they sit are all those other types of conversations that, yeah, is it linked to students being on campus? Sure. Is it directly linked? You know, I don't think you can make the statement that it's all one seamless process.
There you go, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on Dan Patrick yesterday. So let's tie that in to our conversation with Brett McMurphy. Where is this going? And with the news you're seeing now, granted, most of the schools that I've seen look like they're more in the south than, you know, up north or out west. Where do you think, what does that mean where it looks like? And he said, Brett McMurphy said, you know, let's also remember the words, the intent, you know, it's intended, or their intentions are. It's not saying definitively, yes, this is what we're doing. It's saying our goal, our intentions are to have, you know, classes on campus in the fall.
Well, when you turn on the TV and you watch the news, every day, at least for the last several days, has been, okay, X state is opening up, and here's what they're doing. Y state is still closed. Z state is opened up, but the cities in that state are still closed. You know, we have so many different tracks that we're going down right now. So then you look at Brett McMurphy's article on Stadium, on watchstadium.com, which I just tweeted out. The ACC, 14 teams in 9 states. Big Ten and SEC, 14 teams in 11 different states. The states of Florida, North Carolina, and Texas each have schools from 4 different conferences. California is home to 4 Pac-12 schools and 3 Mountain West schools. So you can just see the puzzle that would have to be put together for everybody to be on the same page. It's going to be almost impossible. So they can hope for a lot of things. But, man, I have a hard time seeing everybody being in the same place by Labor Day, which is what Greg Sankey is hopeful for. Now, he hit on a lot of different contingency plans. I find it interesting. But imagine if you're sitting in these different AD chairs and all this. What a mess.
Yeah, look, I have intentions of being a millionaire, but that doesn't work out usually. So I think there are a lot of intentions with some of this, but and I know we use the phrase "we just don't know" a lot during this, but that's the most honest phrase you can use. And so I listened to that with Greg Sankey on Dan Patrick. You know, we've read quotes and heard quotes of other athletic directors and commissioners with these Power Five conferences. There are a lot of conversations taking place right now based on information that is ever changing, and they just don't know what it's going to look like when we get to college football season. So that's the scary part. I know if I was in their position, I would hate that, because I cannot stand not knowing what's ahead. I have to know what it's going to look like, and so this would be a tough situation to be in for sure, but that's where they are right now. And if they we go back to the phrase of if it's not safe for the fans, if it's not safe for the students to be on campus, then why is it safe for the players to play? And that keeps coming back up.
All right,
You understand why this is coming out now? Do you understand why they're putting something out there that they don't even know what's going to happen out now? It's what I laid out with Brett McMurphy. And I've brought this up to you guys this week. I'm telling you, it's real. People are saying, look, we're not paying full price for online classes, okay? It's not going to happen. I'll just bag out. Or I want lesser rates. They're worried that people are going to start saying, you know what, I'm good. I'm not coming back for the fall. That is real. That is in play. And, of course, the other one is the big, giant elephant in the room. They've got to – I've been saying it for months on this show. They've got to figure out how to have college football. The hole that the universities fall into, will not get out of. There'll be sports just left down in the crater, and they never get pulled out. And there's all kinds of – by the way, don't forget these universities – and these athletic programs and their facilities and stuff at a lot of these schools, it's kind of like what we've been talking about for years with sports, right? There was this boom in college football. So what was everybody's mission when it comes to their stadium? Get bigger. Everything.
Bigger, more amenities, more suites.
More everything. And then whenever it became really popular on television and prices got really outrageous and people just decided, you know what, I think I'm okay just sitting at home watching everything. Or if your team is having a down season, they're like, yeah, we're good. We're just going to stay home. And now you're seeing all these big, massive places with a whole lot of empties. NASCAR went through the same thing. Bigger, bigger, bigger. We're a rocket ship. Yeah, well, guess what? It doesn't always just go up. And then what happens when it comes down? And then you see Bristol being run with maybe half capacity. Yep. It's a horrible look. Well, you think these universities are any different? Have you guys traveled to some of these schools today and seen how massive and gorgeous and beautiful every building and everything is? They've been doing the same thing.
I wouldn't say they're all gorgeous.
I didn't say all of them. I said some of them. A lot of them are indeed big and
new
okay. and gorgeous.
So you have that, but then you also have this unprecedented thing. You heard Greg Sankey even talk about maybe things. I heard him sort of hinting at you could have some people in the stands. You know, you'd have to enter a certain way with social distancing, and maybe you have a capacity that you would allow, almost like a restaurant being allowed 50% capacity. Or something. But let's pretend, let's say, Darren, you're Greg Sankey. All right, you're the commissioner. I'm representing Florida. Chase is representing, he's the AD at Texas A&M. Okay? Here's a group of five AD. I could definitely see scenarios where all but one or two schools from a conference are ready to proceed and a season is played without them. I think the group of five would allow the Power Five's lead and the Power Five conferences would defer to the TV networks to determine which schedule is preferable. Okay, so you're Greg Sankey. I'm Florida. My governor has said, "Hey, we've got a relapse. Okay, we got bad numbers. We can't play. We're out." Texas is gung ho, so Chase is ready to go. Let's play. So Greg Sankey, he's doing the scorecard. Okay, I got 10 schools that can play. I got four that can't play. So what do you do?
Well,
I don't believe there's going to be schools in the SEC. They're going to say we're out. If everybody, if
how,
others
how
are in,
that?
I don't
how
believe.
Do you know? What if the governor doesn't let you play?
The governor doesn't let you play. Have we not been deciding already stories of where the governor says one thing and people do the other? I mean, hasn't that already happened?
Well, there's an athletic director in this article that says that is a possible scenario.
I feel like this is an all or nothing kind of thing. I just, especially in your scenario that you just laid out there, Willie, if you said Florida can't, so Florida's out, that's what you're saying, right?
That's my hypothetical.
Okay. To me, that you are taking one of the biggest universities in the SEC with a ton of history and a big fan base. If you're taking them out, that does it kill the whole thing? No, probably not, but it hurts a lot. And I think if you're Greg Sankey and if you have four schools that can't participate, I don't see that happening.
You may be using a bad example. I don't think Florida has been bashful about anything to this point. They are certainly
well. That's true.
I'm
just throwing them out
and
there.
Say we're not doing it. I mean, they've done just the opposite.
Yeah,
absolutely. I that may be a poor example.
Okay,
but
go close to home. Say Tennessee's out. Tennessee's out. They can't do it. They can't play.
Once again, it's just what right now. There's no proof that Tennessee would be one
right.
Of
but
those
right
states.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen over the next few months.
But
I mean,
let's
you
say
would certainly hope that there's not some outbreak that makes it really bad. But it's possible that somewhere within your league, whether it's the SEC or not, the question would be, how would you schedule if you only have partial participation among your schools? And then if
can.
A school is just can't play and Greg Sankey is sitting there going, hey, I understand, man, you've got this many cases and you've got issues. Your health system is overrun. Football is just not a priority right now. Or maybe some schools just aren't in session, right? They have to say we can't have the kids on campus, so we can't play. So does that school get the revenue? How do you divide up the revenues at that point? There's one AD in here that says, oh, sorry, tough, can't get the revenue.
Yeah,
let me tell you a theory of mine, okay? Just my opinion. Once we start getting back, it's happening. It's already happening. I just told you, I can go dine out in a restaurant in Smyrna tonight, today after the show. I can do it. I can walk right in and sit down and order a meal. It's once all this stuff and NASCAR coming back, all this coming back, and we resume back, I'm just telling you, this is my gut feeling. It is going to be really, really hard for people to pull back, okay? It's basically
not if there's a huge outbreak and a terrible
when people
wave
get back,
as a result.
Right, but at that point, you're already doing stuff. It would have to happen. It's kind of like the NBA. We talked about this yesterday. It took Rudy Gobert. I'm not sure that sports shuts down if Rudy Gobert doesn't test positive, or at least to the NBA. It took the positive test to say, okay, yeah, all right, we're done. Once we get out and everybody gets back to somewhat normal, yeah, it'll be different rules, it'll be different, but you're out. It's different than the last 6-7 weeks. It is going to be really hard to rein everybody back in and say, hey, precautionary reasons, we need to do this. People are going, they're just not going to be willing to do it. I mean, that's my gut feeling. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for whoever is in charge of trying to the leash. It's like your dog, my big German Shepherd. Sometimes he is hard to corral. Sawyer is probably hard to corral.
Yep.
And it is hard to get that leash on him or pull him back. It is going to be hard to pull America back once we're all out there.
Okay.
Back
I mean, you
it.
May be right, Darren, but there could be consequences to that. And,
well,
and so
course.
We're looking 3 or 4 months down
Everything
the road.
Everything is going to be a risk, Willie. Once we leave the house, we're at risk. We all know
but I'm saying part of the risk might get to a point where the risk becomes too great and you don't have a choice. I'm just saying that's a worst-case scenario. I hope we don't get there.
Right, but you're talking
when
about
when money is driving it so much. Here's a quote from a Power 5 AD, all right? This is the piece that is perplexing us all right now, a Power 5 AD said. Again, this is watchstadium.com, Brett McMurphy. It's a great article. What if a political body in one state says the schools in that state can't play? We cannot afford for a few boats to sink the fleet. It sounds like every man for themselves, all right? So, you know, some states over there going, hey, sorry about you guys over 3 states over. Too bad you guys can't play, but we got to play. I mean, that's a real cutthroat thing. You would think a league would be all for one and one for all. Don't you think?
That's a good
you would
one.
Think?
Yeah.
You're a league. You're a league for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? But you got 11 different – you're representing 11 different states.
Yeah, kumbaya, right? That's how it works. Sure. Yeah.
But who are you going to play?
These conferences are all kumbaya. We're all in this together, guys.
But you know what could come of this? Because and I understand that it's not apples to apples, because you have professional leagues and then you have collegiate, but you're going to see just how not on the same page the NCAA really is.
There's no doubt.
and that could end it as we know it, or it could be a good thing where they realize, hey, we got to get all our blank together and we have to get on the same page. Otherwise, we're not going to be in the capacity that we're in. I mean, that's just when you look at the sports or the entities that have the most to lose with all of this, Ryan and I talked about this earlier on the rundown, and I said that I was looking at it from more of a professional standpoint, but he brought up college athletics, and he's absolutely right. College athletics have the most to lose from this because, as you have pointed out, Darren, that if football isn't played, you're going to have other sports that simply just go away because they can't afford it. And even if you have college football come back in some capacity, but you have some schools that can't play, what's that going to do? This could change things forever.
The other part about
thing,
it is
one thing we have not one is, thing we haven't discussed either is we haven't even factored in like what are the health officials going to say, right? If the health officials are all telling the presidents, guys, gals, we can't do this, are they going to be sort of overrun by the economic ramifications here? Because as Darren pointed out, the it's staring everybody in the face, right? From the student body to the enrollment, along with the athletic program.
That's what I was getting at. It's more than just the athletics. These campuses, it's more than just the athletics. They've got the two-headed monster, right? They've got how badly they need college football to get played for budget purposes, and now they've got students saying, hey, if we're not back on campus, I may reconsider, or I need you to lower tuition. And so now you've got another on the academic side of things. So you've got a two-headed monster right now that these schools are facing. And think about it. They've already lost a lot of money already, a ton already. It'll only get worse, and some will not make it. They just won't. It's just like the sports. It's not just the sports. You understand that the way if it was complete shutdown or in the worst-case scenario, you realize that there may be not the big school. There may be universities that can't survive, or it looks completely different because of this. I mean, that's why they're doing this. This is why this news is out there today, is because they have to have these real conversations. They're in dire straits. They know. They see the big picture. They're looking down the road and saying, what if rut-row? It's going to spell trouble for us.
This is unprecedented. I mean, this virus is not going away, so it's going to be there. So how do we make these decisions? I don't envy the people on that, but I think it is the most complicated thing. Like, the NHL is not going to play. Major League Baseball is not going to play with two-thirds of their teams playing.
No.
Right?
No.
If you want to play, play. If you don't want to play, don't play. That's not how it's going to work in those leagues. They're going to make a decision, and everybody's going to abide by that. The college football, you might have something very mixed and different based on the feedback that Brett McMurphy got from these ADs. It's really amazing. The schools that can play will play, says one AD. And then other ones saying, I'm torn. I really am. I'm trying to work it through in my mind. I think we would push back the season to a time where all of our members could play, says another AD. So who makes the final call? This is going to be really tough, because as Chase points out, it's not like there's a commissioner of NCAA football. There isn't one. Plus, you have all these presidents, and you have everybody's on their own island that has to make a decision for their university, let alone their athletic program.
Everything
well, I will
we've
say
said
this,
for years is catching up to them.
I don't know what they're going to do with people in the stands this college football season, if there is one in the fall. If they're back on campuses and they're having classes on campus, I think you have to at least let the students into the games. Don't you think? Like, they have to have first priority. Like, you can't have them in class,
sure,
but then tell them they can't go to a football game, right? It's once again, there's a lot of mixed messages. So to me, they have to be in the stadium.
But and I don't know how it is everywhere. I don't know how it was at Alabama, but you know, are you making them pay?
I don't. Whatever the setup is, this is the setup.
But
I don't know.
But it's different for each school. Like, I didn't have to pay at MTSU, obviously.
Well, I didn't either, but things are different. I think they do now, don't they? I don't know. I don't know how it works today.
Well, if you have to pay, you know, how will that affect how many people are going to pay to go?
Sure.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, let's like just say
the big revenue is going to come with the people that go to the suites and give all the money and all that stuff, and you wonder – what system will come up with if you would have to think there? You heard Greg Sankey hinting at it. Maybe you couldn't have a full capacity, but you would set up designated seats that you could sit in where you had to be 6 foot apart from the next person sitting over from you. That would be an interesting look.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have school kids in class in the fall, they have to be allowed to go to the game. I don't know. I don't care what you do with the rest of the general public. I don't know
with
how
distancing?
They're going to handle that. I'm saying Well, if you have a 90,000 seat stadium and your student, you know, you're going to have, what are you going to have in there? 5,000 people? I mean, I think you could safely social distance yourself in a football stadium with if you only let students in. Right? Of course. That goes without saying, but I think you have to let them in. I don't know how you can.
Lines at the concession stand might be a little cramped.
Well, I don't know how many students go. I mean, there's a lot that will say I don't feel comfortable going or I don't want to go. But how can, you can't tell them to go to school, but you can't go to the game, right?
Yeah, I agree. But it's going to be all about money, too. How much money they can make if they're going to let anybody in.
I don't think it's about that. I think it's about you've got to let them in the game. It's not about money. It's you have
Maybe
to do
so,
the right
that's
thing.
That's not where you're getting your money.
That's not where
you're
getting
your money.
You're
not getting a lot of revenue from the students. You're not getting much of your revenue in the gate from your students, one way or the other. It's going to be the big donors.
The decision is on the look. It's the optics. It's the optics. You can't have kids in class and then tell them they can't go to a football game because it's not safe.
The NCAA has done a great job with optics.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, that's what they have to do. They have to. It would be ridiculous if they said, we need you in class, but you can't go to the football game because it's not safe.
Right.
All right, we'll come back.
We have to get to David Poyle.
Now we have to come back with David Poyle to start the second hour. That's next.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.